Guys, today we're going to start a new series. It's called Win the Day. And this is based on off of a book by pastor and author Mark Batterson. So that's a book that you can get on your own. I know Lori Hilsinger and Howie have already purchased the book, and they're going to be taking everybody through it. So you don't need to get the book. But if you'd like to, hey, it's a fantastic book. That's what we're going to be preaching out of over the next several weeks. Well, let me just start with this. I'm going to read this directly from Mark Batterson's sermon on this particular point here. Here he says this: according to psychologists Matthew Killingsworth and Daniel Gilbert, the average person spends 46.9% of their time thinking about something other than what they're doing in the present moment. So 47% of your time thinking about doing something other than what you're doing. Do I still have your attention? You guys are thinking about something else. At least half of you, 47%. All right, let's get our minds back on the service, all right? So that's what happens. In other words, we're living, a lot of times in our minds, we're living somewhere else altogether. And maybe we're distracted. Maybe we are worried about the future. Maybe we're just frustrated. Maybe we're overwhelmed. Maybe we're depressed. All these things could be happening, but we are half present half the time. That sound crazy? Half present half the time. Right? And life is already short enough, right? So if you're half present half the time, then your life seems even shorter than it already seems. Crazy, huh? And so what we need is we need to be more fully present here today, fully present with your family, fully present with what God wants for you. And the only way to be fully present is to, right there, win the day. Win the day, each day. Okay, what are we talking about when we're talking about win the day? How do you win the day? What does it mean? It simply means this. It means to focus on everything that God has for you today, right now, right? You're here. You're in this room. God has something for you right now, right? Just get all those distractions away. Focus on today. Stop worrying about tomorrow, right? Stop worrying about what happened yesterday, right? Because we can't change what happened yesterday. That's all easier said than done. There's plenty to worry about, right? I think every day on the news or somewhere, you're hearing about something to worry about or to get your mind caught up in. But living daily for God, that's what we need to learn to do. And this is God's idea. Right? I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove it to you. I want you to finish the line for me, okay? You ready? Give us this day our... there it is. Daily bread. Okay, let's do another one. Take up your cross... Whoa. I heard different things. I heard daily, and what else did I hear? And follow me. Okay, I'll give you that. But I was looking for daily. Okay, very good. Some of you know your word. That's good. Okay, I kind of flipped this one around, so you get it. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you very much. How about this one? His mercies are new every morning. Yeah, it's morning. You're right. Kind of a trick question. All right, this is God's idea here, right? Living every day. I didn't hear that, but someone's laughing over there. I don't know what it was about. Okay, the Apostle Paul, here's what Paul reminds us of in Philippians. And he has a habit that is formed in his life. And he says this to us from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Here's what he says. He says, but one thing I do, right? Forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Right? Forgetting what is behind. Or you can look at the you can look at it this way. Right? We can live in the regret of yesterday. Can't change it though. Can't change it. Can't change what happened already. Right? Yesterday, it's dead. It's gone. It's in the past. So we don't want to live there anymore. It's time to focus, change your mindset, and focus on what God has for you right now and today. And so in this series, what we're going to do is look at 7 habits to develop in your life to help you win the day every day. Right? So we're going to be kind of going through some discipleship stuff over the summer. And the first habit is right up there on the screen. It's habit 1, and it's called flip the script. Can you say that? Flip. Let's try it again. 1, 2, 3. All right, good. I just want to make sure you got it. Make sure you got it. You probably have heard this term used before. What does it mean to flip the script? And how do you do that? Switch things up. I like that. Very good. You know, this is a term you might hear like after a movie review or maybe even in a song. You know, maybe, in a movie when the bad guys win instead of the good guys, right? Instead of happily ever after, everything ends in complete tragedy. You know, sometimes it can actually mean something different. It can mean hiding who you are, right? Kind of flipping the script on someone else. But often it means turning your situation around to completely reverse the usual outcomes, right? We want to reverse the usual outcomes. And so what are we looking for, church? We're looking for good outcomes in our lives. We're looking for new outcomes. And so in order to flip the script in your life for a better outcome, you've got to start changing what's usual. Changing what you usually do. Here's an example from my life. My wife and I, Amanda, we flipped the script on Monday nights. We flipped the script on Monday nights. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. We actually want our kids to learn the Bible. We'd like them to know God's word. Anyone else like that? I mean, we get the word here. Yes, we do. I mean, but how many of you remember everything you hear from here? You only remember a little portion of what you hear, but we need it more in our daily lives. And so we want our kids to learn the Bible, right? I noticed that they're learning a whole lot of stuff on YouTube, like just crazy stuff on YouTube, you know, mostly from Dude Perfect and all that stuff. But, I mean, that's pretty fun to watch. But, I mean, there's nothing that I want more in my life Then for my own kids to walk with the Lord. That's a bottom line, guys. On my deathbed, there's not a whole lot that matters that I did in my life if my kids are not walking with the Lord. That's what I want, and that's what I hope for. Now, I may not be able to control that, but that's what I long for, and that's what I hope for. So how do I make sure that starts to happen, right? Most days usually finish with time on electronics. Anybody else have a problem with that, right? I mean, I got my phone sitting next to me, and the next thing I know, I look, it's gone. Where'd it go? My kids, like, reach around me, and they're, like, so sneaky. Wow, they just take it, and all of a sudden, they're playing some baseball game. I'm like, hold on a sec. We got to flip the script here, and so we decided that we wanted Monday nights to end differently. And so here's what I did, real simple. I just went around the house. Kids are, you know, Nintendo Switch, you know, doing all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, family meeting in 15 minutes. Okay, Dad, you know, they don't even know what that means. Okay, family meeting, 15. So you better wrap up that game, right? Better win that level, better be done. 15 minutes, family meeting. All right, that's important. Give your kids fair warning when you're going to do something. All right, so 15 minutes, we turn off all the electronics, we come and we sat around the coffee table. We even lit a candle. That was really fun. I even let one of them light the candle now. It's like a privilege, you know. we began to read the book of John. We read the book, we're reading the book of John. Just one chapter at a time. Right? Every Monday night. That's what we've been doing. We want a different outcome. Right? I don't want every night to end the same way. Right? With TV and electronics. And sometimes that's fun. You can sit down and watch a movie with your family. No problem. But I want this night to end different. So we flipped the script. You know what happened? The next week, we did it again. Same thing, around the coffee table. The next week, we changed it up. We sat around the fire pit outside. That was a really fun week because I remember we were talking about Nicodemus that week. I didn't even plan that. But Nicodemus was like out at nighttime, you know. He was like sneaking out and trying to meet with Jesus at night. Here we are like in the dark, like around this fire pit at a flashlight, you know. And we're reading about this. That was super fun. Okay, and then the next week, you know what happened? Before we did the reading, my kids came to me and they asked if we were having family time together. How cool is that? I did not see that coming. But that's what happened. They came and asked. Right? And I was very happy that my kids actually enjoyed the time we spent in God's Word. They were cool with shutting off the electronics and getting around the table and reading the Bible. Crazy. Are my kids like strange or something? They actually like this. It was good though. And so this is what flipping the script is all about, right? How do you want your day to go? What do you want to do in your day? And I have a question here. Did you know that God is anxious? He's anxious to do this in your life. He wants you to flip the script. He wants to flip the script. He's anxiously awaiting to meet with you every day. You know, my wife and I, now she's way better at this than me, but, you know, we do the Life Journal. We do the daily audio Bible. And every day we do it, it's so good, so fulfilling. Even when I'm tired, I'm like, I don't want to do this again. No, I love it. Every day. Right? Get in the Word. And so, if you've been with us over this whole year, we've just hit pause on our last series called The Story, right? And that's a chronological walk through the Bible. And so, if you've been paying attention, you have seen God do this multiple times in His Word. Let me explain one example from our time over this year. When it came to the Hebrews, right, if you recall, at one point, they were flourishing right alongside Egypt. And they were all under the leadership of Joseph, right, who became the prince. Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Right, and through some miraculous circumstances, he was elevated to power in Egypt. But not long after Joseph died, this new generation of people grew up. And they forgot about Joseph. They forgot about all the good times. And so in time, these Hebrews, they became enslaved to the Egyptians. And this went on for generations. And it lasted for 400 years. You guys remember that part? So for a long time, everyone who was born a Hebrew in Egypt was born into slavery. And that's what they knew. And what do you think that their self-worth was after a while? Right? They didn't believe anything better about themselves. They had been in that lifestyle for so long, they didn't even know who they were anymore. All they knew was that they were slaves. And so they cried out to God. Yes, they did that, and God heard them. But they also struggled with this mentality of enslavement, you know, being ground into them and pounded into them day after day for generations. You know, when that happens to you, you start to believe things that aren't true about who you are. Guess what God did? Say it. I want to hear it. He flipped the script. That's what he did. Right? He came and he set them free from all that. He set them free. But he did more than just release them from those burdens, right? He gave them a completely new identity. He gave them a new home, right? I'm going to take you to this promised land. They were no longer known as Hebrew slaves anymore. They were now known as the nation of Israel. A whole new identity. Sounds kind of complicated, but it actually wasn't that hard for God to do. Right? It didn't take long for God to actually get them out of Egypt. And so finally, when they get out of Egypt and they cross the sea and they arrive at Mount Sinai, you know the story, that's the place where God gave them the law and rules and regulations for how to live as a nation, as a people, you know, united. Put the Levites over them, right? That's actually what their name means. It means united. All right, well, check this verse out here. Here they are at Mount Sinai, and they're about to leave. They've been there for a while, camping out. They're about to leave. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2, here's what it says. It takes 11 days to go from Horeb, which is where they were, another name for Sinai, to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. It takes 11 days. What was Kadesh Barnea? That was the doorstep of the promised land. The Bible tells us right there, 11 days, we're going. We're leaving the mountain. I'm going to take you to the promised land. And it's going to be 11 days. We're going to be there. What happened? What happened at Kadesh Barnea? That's it. That's where Moses sent out the 12 spies. And you know the story. Only two of them wanted to fight and actually take the land, but the other 10 were so filled with fear and unbelief, right? They didn't believe that God could win the day. That's right. They were scared. After all that time, guys, they still didn't believe that God could do it. So they spread a terribly negative report, right? They stirred up the people to believe the same thing, all this negativity. And all this negativity in them all the time about how they can't accomplish anything or do anything. They're so terrible. They're so tiny. They're tiny in the eyes of, you know, people. Their hearts melted. And they just got scared. They said, no, we're not doing this. And you know what? Because of that one day that they didn't win, the stay in the desert went from 11 days to 14,600, which is 40 years. That's 40 years, give or take. All right? Boy, that was a big mistake on their part. What did the Israelites believe about themselves? Right? They told themselves they couldn't do it. We know God could do it. We saw God do it. All the plagues and all the miracles and in Egypt and you know, the Passover and all this crazy stuff and the pillars of fire. Man, I mean, what more do you need? Going through the waters, parting the seas. I mean, God has done so much work in their lives. And yet they told themselves they couldn't do it. They told themselves they'd fail. They didn't believe what God said about them. They didn't believe it. And so they very literally, they created a self-fulfilling prophecy. You ever done that? talk so bad about yourself and so negative, and then something happens. Now, see? Exactly what I thought would happen. So negative. They believe that about themselves. And so what did they do? They took that old script, the one that said, you know, that Egypt put out for them and said, hey, you guys are just slaves, nobodies. Nothing good about you. Just get over there and work. That's all you're good for. That's what they believed. They didn't take the one that God rewrote for them. And in spite of everything they experienced, it came down to their faith, what they believed. So this is from the book here, but Mark Batterson says this: getting Israel out of Egypt was the easy part. But getting Egypt out of Israel, that was the hard part. See that? Getting Israel out of Egypt, piece of cake. Gone. Few plagues, few miracles. Boom. We're out of here. But Egypt was still in Israel. And that was hard. And this is the journey. This is the journey we are all on. Each one of us has to believe what God says is going to happen. We all have that choice. We have it every day. And we have to follow the script that He's laid out for us. Right? What script has He laid out for us? The Scripture. Right? That's what He's laid out for us. And I'm telling you, God's Word already has the best ending you could ever hope for. There's nothing better out there than that. And so what God says about you, that has to become your story. Right? We've been talking about the story for many, many weeks, but that has to become your story. And this is what it takes to flip the script. It takes faith, right? Everyone in the Bible who was successful in their walk with God, they had faith in God's promises and what He wanted to do. And they may have had different tasks to complete, you know, in the time where they lived. But what was common between all of them was that they believed that what God said was true. You've heard a lot of these stories. So good. You know, think about Abraham. His name wasn't even Abraham at first. It was Abram. He had no children. He was old. So was his wife, Sarah. But God flipped the script on Abraham, and He gave him a new name. And He promised that a nation would come from him. And he believed it. He believed it. God saw that as righteousness. Think about Jacob. Jacob was Abraham's grandson, right? And he, too, was given a new name. He was renamed to Israel. God flipped the script on Jacob. And he was given a completely new identity. He accepted it. Think about Moses. Moses thought he was probably the most unqualified person to do anything for God. He made some pretty big mistakes. He even killed the guy, and then he ran away. But God flipped the script on Moses and said, I need you to lead. I need you to lead my people. And he obeyed it. Think about the Apostle Paul. He was also known by two names, right? He was once the great persecutor of the church, known as Saul. God flipped the script on Saul, and he became the great Apostle Paul, and he was given the message to take to the Gentile world. That's why we have it today. And he carried it. And you know, Jesus would do this stuff all the time. He flipped the script on a lot of people, right? He took some fishermen. He made them fishers of men. He made them leaders of men and leaders of the church. See Jesus doing this too. He renamed Simon. He called him the rock, right? Simon was the one who denied Jesus, who ran away in fear, who sunk in the waves because he got his eyes off of Jesus. Jesus called him the rock. He gave nicknames to a couple other disciples, James and John, calling them the sons of thunder, right? There's all this renaming going on all throughout the Bible. It's crazy. But who does God say that you are? Do you know who you are in Christ? Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know. I think that there's a pretty big identity crisis that we're facing in our country. And here's why I think we're facing it. Because we don't know God's word. We don't know what God says about us. We don't know who we are in Christ. And I think if we knew all that, things would be different. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 12. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The renewing of your mind. God is into renewal and making things new in your life. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Right? We need to flip open the scripture more. Rewrite our days to include God's word, right? To start and end with different outcomes than what you have. Change what you usually do. And that way, according to Scripture, we're going to know what God is up to. And we're going to know who we are. And that's where your true identity comes from. Amen? Amen. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to flip the script this morning on this sermon, all right? I'm going to stop preaching at you, and we're going to start reading some Scripture, all right? We've got a few minutes. Just a couple. What does Scripture say about us? I want you to get out your phone or your Bible or whatever you have. And if you don't have those, you can't look these up right in your seat, then just write them down. And I'm going to challenge you to look them up later, okay? All right, so get out your Bible and let me know when the first couple people are there. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. All right? Now, this could take just a couple minutes here. But we're flipping the script, right? We're doing things different. So we have a different outcome. Or something like that. All right, who's there? 1 John 3:1. Anybody there? All right, I got to put a couple people there. If you're not there, then just follow along. Here's what it says. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." See that? What are you? Well, if you believe it, that's what the word says. You're children of God. All right, let's go. You know, what does it mean to be a child of God? All right, flip over to John. Now, this is getting out of 1 John. Go to John chapter 1. Some of you can do this fast because you got your app out. A couple old school Bibles. I like that. I like flipping those thin little pages. About it. Feels good. Don't you like that? One day, if all we have is electronics, I'm going to be sad. But I like the Bible in my hands. 1 John chapter 1. Oh, sorry. Thank you. John. I said 1 John 4. Okay, we're in John chapter 1, 12 and 13. Here's what it says. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." See what's that saying about you? You had a purpose. that was set in motion by God, not by the will of your parents, but by God, right? And when we accept him and we believe in him, that's how we become his children. All right, let's go a little further. Ephesians, flip over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Why am I even doing this morning? This is why, because this is where I go, guys, when I need to win the day. There's a lot of days I need to win, okay? And you do too. And this is where I go. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Anybody there? All right. Here's what it says. For we are God's masterpiece. Some of you probably says workmanship. Maybe some other things. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See what that's saying? It said he made you. Each one of us is his masterpiece. We're all completely different. We should love that. We are his work. All right? Let me read this next one. It's from Psalm 139. It says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Y'all hear that? Somebody say, I am wonderful. See, that's what the Bible says about you. You are wonderful. Now, you're not like too wonderful, all right? But you're wonderful. I mean, you really are. I mean, we can't get a big head about it. We can't get too prideful. But you know what? You are so unique. And you're God's masterpiece, and you are wonderful, right? All right, let's turn to John 15. John 15. Got it? John 15. Ready there? John chapter 15, verse 16. Yeah, I'm going to get you all looking up Scripture. That's my whole plan of attack today. I just get you to look up Scripture. That's all. And then you just do this. Just go. Go. Spread the word. And look up Scripture. If you do that today, I have succeeded, okay? All right, John 15, 16. Here's what it says. Jesus is speaking. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I chose you, right? You're chosen. You are chosen. All right, let's do another one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's go there. 1 Peter 2, 9. It's a good one. It's a good one. You know this one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Anybody there? Good. All right, everybody do this with your hands just so nobody falls asleep. Good. A little blood flowing. Good. All right, good. Got some people there. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9, it says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You know what God thinks of you? Thinks you're his special possession. I don't know if anyone's ever thought of you that way. That's what God thinks of you. It says that you can declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Okay, we're going to do a couple more, and then we'll be done, okay? Galatians chapter 4. Now, you all know we've never done this before up here. We haven't just scrolled through all these scriptures. But I told you we're going to flip the script today and do this. So Galatians chapter 4, 6 7, okay? Hopefully you all are highlighting, circling, taking notes. Like, you're not just going to, like, close your Bible and never look at these again, right? I know you're going to be all into these this whole week. It's good stuff. Because you need to go back to these this week, sometime in your personal time, and you need to look around these scriptures because you really need the context for these scriptures. We're just taking like little tiny bites out of them, which is really refreshing when you're really hungry. But you need the context. And I challenge you to go back and read around these verses. Okay, Galatians 4, 6 through 7. It says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave. No longer a slave. Whatever that thing is in your life today, you don't have to be enslaved to it anymore. If you will believe this, God has freed you from that thing. Start believing it. And start walking in his ways. You are no longer a slave. That is what Christ says about you. Let's do one more. I'm going to skip one and we're going to do one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20. Corinthians 6, here's what it says, 19 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. When we serve God and we walk with God and we accept his word, we realize I'm not my own. It's like renting space here, right? This is all God's. And I need to figure out how to give it back to him because every day I live and breathe is a gift from him. Amen? All right. Guys, what did we just read? We read that we're God's children. We're God's masterpiece. We're chosen by God. We're God's possession. We are sons and not slaves. Sons and daughters and not slaves. We're God's temple. He wants to live in us. Did you see that big old temple that's built out on the freeway? That's not where God wants to live. It's the new Mormon temple. You've seen it. God's not here to live in that temple, guys. The word says we are his temple. And he wants to live in you. If he ain't living in you, it don't matter what temple you go to. He has to live in you, okay? All right, I know we're over, but let's wrap this up. Just the final encouragements for win the day, okay? Hebrews 3:13 says this, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. Isn't that interesting? Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. So what has God called you to do today? Encourage one another. All right? And Jesus tells us, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus says this. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's what Jesus said. We want to live for today. Okay, this is the habit that we need to get into on a daily basis. As you wake up in the morning, you flip the script on what you believe. Who you believe you are. And if you don't know, you get into his word and it will tell you those answers, right? We can get there if we get there intentionally. Amen? All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much, Lord. Just grab a hold of that last scripture about being the temple. You want to live in our lives every single day. Lord, let us not ignore you, even for one more day. Let us not ignore you, but acknowledge that you want to come into our hearts every day. And today is the day you tell us to live daily. We don't have time to worry about tomorrow. We've got to do what we need to do today. Because today is all we have. All we know we have. God, please come into our lives. Just remembering that Kelsey read that scripture this morning in Numbers about the blessing. Such a good scripture. What a privilege to be blessed to be one of God's people. There's one more scripture that's at the end of that. Very last one, and it says that he wants to put his name on you. He wants his name on you. It means he wants to be with you and give you a new identity and completely flip over your life from the direction it was going. Flip it around so that we're now walking with him. God, would you put your name on all of our hearts? Ask for you to come into our lives and into our heart. Amen.